Amen. That was outstanding. We give God all the glory. Nehemiah chapter 2 again tonight. Nehemiah chapter 2. I began a message this morning. Got halfway through it. I want to pick up where I left off and go on further for the glory of God. That was a great blessing this morning as well, seeing Mr. John Rourke from Iraq live. Wasn't that a blessing? That was thrilling to my heart to see him by means of Skype. Have you all ever used Skype? Would you raise your hand? That's a great thing, isn't it? And for him to be there and to see him live like that, that was great. I heard sniffles all over the congregation, people crying, weeping. That's a great thing. And we're looking forward to seeing him. I think he's supposed to get back in December. Am I right by saying that? It's December, I believe. I think he's supposed to come back. When he comes back, Lord willing, we'll be honoring him. And that'll be a great thing. I love to be an American. Amen. Glad I'm born in this great country. And I appreciate what Brother John's doing and all these military folks. They're fighting for our freedoms. And we give God the glory for using them in such a way like that. Nehemiah chapter 2, and look at verse number 18, just for sake of time here. We're speaking on verses 11 through 20. But verse number 18 is where we find our text. The latter part of it says, "And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." I began a message this morning on those three last words of verse 18, this good work. Now let's pray together and I will continue with this message tonight. Our Father, we love you this evening and we praise you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for who you are, what you've done. Thank you for the exciting days that we live in. A lot of people just get discouraged and distressed, but Lord, it's exciting days. Because it's days that we can get the gospel around our nation, around the world. And I pray that you help us to do business with this good work. Pray for this message tonight that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. May the will of God be done. And I confess my dependence upon thee. I need you. And help me to preach with clarity and understanding and power. And Lord, we give you all the glory and honor for what you're going to do. And we pray, God, that you'll defeat Satan and his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said this morning, thus far in this glorious book, we've seen some wonderful truths. First of all, we've seen in chapter 1 how Nehemiah was a man with an exalted position, being the king's cupbearer. And this was a position that was given to a man of high character and trustworthiness. However, even though he was a man of this position, he still loved his own people and city very much. And because of this, he asked some men concerning his people and city. This is all in chapter 1. And once he heard of the terrible conditions of the people and the broken down walls of the city, he sits down and weeps and sits down and fasts and begins to pray. Then in chapter 2, we've seen how Nehemiah was a man of passion to go to his city and to his people and build it again. He just had to do something about the awful conditions that he heard about. The Lord answers his prayers beyond what Nehemiah asked for, and the king gives him an armed guard to go to Jerusalem. And as we come to chapter 2, verse 8, we see Nehemiah is giving God all the praise for his wonderful work on his behalf. Then we began a message this morning on chapter 2, beginning with verses 11 all the way down through verse 20. And as I was reading and meditating upon this portion of Scripture, I told the folks this morning that I was struggling concerning finding the main and key thought of the passage. Until the Lord opened my understanding and those three words in verse 18 seemingly popped off the page to me, the three words, this good work. See, there's no doubt at this time that what Nehemiah is attempting to do for the glory of God is a good work. This work of rebuilding the walls that have been broken down in order for protection to keep outsiders out and for separation to keep insiders in so they don't intermingle with the heathen, that's a good work. And it's important that we realize that this work of the book of Nehemiah, this work of rebuilding the walls and helping the distressed people, that's a good work to get involved in. This is why I didn't mind taking the approximately 3-month journey trip from the palace to Jerusalem. This is why I was not content with being the king's cupbearer. This is why he sat down and he wept and he fasted and he prayed. This is why he was willing to risk his own life by being sad in the king's presence. This is why when he heard the news of destruction, he just had to do something about it. This is why he did not let opposition stop him throughout the book. Why? Because he realized and he knew that the work he was involved in, it was a good work. It was this good work. It's a good thing to do what God wants you to do with your life.
Anything that God gives you to do, whether it be build a strong marriage or love your enemy or evangelize the world or encourage a saint, anything that is the will of God, folks, is a good work to get involved in. And because of that, we started looking at this morning about this good work. There's three things I gave you this morning. I just want to reach over and tap it on the head for the sake of those who weren't here because you were working elsewhere or couldn't be here. First of all, we noticed the author of this good work in verse number 12. Well, the word of God tells us where Nehemiah is speaking. He says, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart. And we looked under this point here how this good work of going back and rebuilding the walls and helping the distressed people, it wasn't Nehemiah's idea. Nehemiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is writing to make sure that everybody understood something. This work was not his idea. This work was God's idea. This was God's work. And because it was God's work, it was a good work. He's the author of it. Secondly, we noticed this morning the appraisal of it. We saw this in verses 13 through 17, specifically verse 17. In verses 13 through 16, actually 13 through 15, he's doing a survey at night of the broken down walls. Then he gives his appraisal, if you will, in verse 17, and says, "Ye see the distress that we are in, and how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." And the point I brought out there is that we see that this good work not only has God as the author, but this good work has a real legitimate need that needs to be met. The walls were broken down. The people were distressed. I'm talking about the city was in ruins and around the world. When you open your eyes to the needs of people, we see the spiritual appraisal is the same. People need God. It's a good work. The appraisal tells us we've got to do something about this. Then the third thing we looked at was the appeal for this good work. In verses 17 and 18, we notice after he gives his appraisal, he says, let us rise. Look right here. It says, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more reproach. We see the author of this work is God. We see the appraisal of this good work is that it did. Something needed to happen. It was in ruins. People were in distress. Then he starts to appeal for workers. And in this appeal, we see he was appealing for cooperation. He didn't say, let you rise up. No, he said, let us rise up and build. He's saying, let's come together. Let's do something for God. Let's get out. Let's shake out of our lethargy. Let's shake out of our complacency. Let's get busy for God. Cooperate with me with this. Then he had an appeal with a cause in verse 17. He said that we be no longer a reproach. And the last thing we looked at this morning is that it was an appeal with comfort and confirmation because in verse number 18, he reminded them about how God had been working on his behalf. Now we pick up our reading in verse number 18 again. We've noticed the author of this good work, the appraisal of this good work, the appeal for this good work. Now let me give you three more points tonight. Number four, let's notice the acceptance of this good work. Look at verse number 18. Then I told them the hand of my God was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. Now notice this. And they said, let us rise and build. That is one of the most beautiful statements in all of Scripture. These people are accepting the responsibility. This is beautiful. See, Nehemiah is a man that was carrying a heavy burden for this good work. This good work of building the walls of Jerusalem. He was carrying a burden. He realizes that he cannot sit back and do nothing. He's broken before God. He's no longer content with his exalted position of cupbearer. He has seen God answer his prayers. He has taken the survey trip and he has seen the broken walls with his own eyes. He has poured out his heart to these people for help. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Now, what will the people do? Will they accept the responsibility? Will they join forces with Nehemiah? Or will they sit back and say, that's the preacher's job? Will they sit back and say, that's the staff member's job? Or will this congregation realize, wait a minute, there's something I can do. God wants me to get involved. And if I get involved, we can get a little bit more done in a little less time for the glory of God. And we see in this that they're accepting their responsibility. Let me say something to you. It is clearly defined in what they said when they said, let us rise and build. What a great blessing this must have been to Nehemiah. I mean, Nehemiah has left everything he's known. He's left his position. He's left this exalted position back in the palace of Shushan. He has seen what God wants him to see. His heart is broken. He is weeping, but he does not know if these people will get behind it. He does not know what their response is going to be. But can you imagine what he must have done when he heard those people say, "We have heard this man. We have seen his vision. And since we've seen his vision and we've heard this man, let us get behind it and let us rise and build." In the same way, I want this church, every single solitary person, to see their responsibility to do something for God. Don't just come and sit. Don't just come and take in. Don't become the Dead Sea Christian. Take it in and give it out. Take it in and give it back out. Take it in and give it back out. And what I'm saying to you is learn to accept the responsibility that world evangelism and all these good works of God, you must accept it in your own mind that it's something for you to get involved in. A couple of things that summarize their acceptance. Now get this, the work he's given his life to. He has left his position. He has traveled back home and he's given his life to rebuild the walls. And now there's others who are getting on board with him. There's others who are getting on ship with him. There's others who are starting to cooperate with him. Folks, we need that. We need to pour our lives out into the good works of Jesus Christ. This acceptance was twofold. First of all, it was significant. Now, this ties me back to what I said already this morning when I was talking about the appeal for the good work. Just like I've already went in detail on this morning, what I mean by their acceptance was significant, it means it was important. Let me tell you why it was important. Because this was a work, again, that was too big for one man to do. Nehemiah could not do this himself. And let me tell you something. Just because God was working in one man's heart, Nehemiah knew that he was not big enough to get the job done. He had his part to do. He realized that he had responsibility just like everybody else. But he realized that this work that God had called him to do was too big for him. He needed help. And if the crowd, the congregation, did not accept this good work, the wall would never have been built. It would still have lain in waste. Do you see how God works on somebody's heart? And praise God for the one man. Excuse me. Praise God for God's working in the heart of Nehemiah. Praise God that Nehemiah was open for God to have his heart so he could share this burden with him. But do you understand that the burden in Nehemiah's heart would have never come to fruition if the congregation did not accept responsibility? What are you doing with your life? I've got a tickle in my throat. It's probably the devil because he doesn't like this. But have you been rattled out of your complacency? And folks, let me say something to you. It's high time that we all understand we're all complacent. We are all dealing with lethargy. We're all dealing with laziness, every one of us. But if we would rattle loose and see the need and hear the vision, that's my responsibility at this church, you understand? And when you see the vision, you see the need, you hear the vision, will you accept responsibility? Will you say, "I'm going to do something with that"? I understand this. I've got to get busy. Help me do something. It was significant. Secondly, it was settled. We see this in the last phrase of verse number 18 where it says, "And so they strengthened their hands for this good work." You know those words, "they strengthened their hands for this good work"? The word "strengthen" carries the idea of to be fastened upon. Carries the idea of to continue, to be established, to maintain. In other words, what they're doing here is they are firmly settling in their minds that this is a good work for them to give their lives to. They were saying, when it says, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. They said, let us rise up and build. That is their acceptance. And they strengthened their hands for this good work. What that means is that they said, this is a worthy cause. I'm not in this as long as it's good for me. I'm in this until it's completely done. That's what that word means. They have decided, I'm going to continue and fasten myself to this work until this work is completely finished. And we need that. In the same way, may God help us to see the broken walls of others all around us. Do you understand what I mean by broken walls? I'm talking about a life in shambles. I'm talking about broken walls all around us. And at the same time, may we not look to someone else to do the job, but rather may we see our own significance of doing our part and staying the course until the Lord calls us home. May the Lord help us all to be firmly settled in our minds concerning the good work of God that He wants us to do with our life. First of all, tonight, fourth overall, going back to this morning, we see the acceptance of this good work. What a beautiful point that is. That these dear people of God, they have seen the need, they have heard the man of God, and now they say, I'll do something. I will get up, let us rise, let us build, and let us be firmly settled in our minds that we're not just going to start this, we're going to finish it. Amen. Then number five, number two tonight, but number five overall, am I confusing you so far? Number five in verse number 19, mark it down. We also see the adversaries of it. Look at verse number 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Something came out in my study here that's very interesting. And what's interesting is this. The Lord shares with us here that as soon as the people accept responsibility to help build the walls, the opposition joins forces to stop them. Now stay with me here. Something came out in my study. The first time these adversaries are brought out, there's only two of them. There's only two. It was Sanballat and Tobiah. But at that time, there was only one man with a vision in his heart. But now that more people have joined the forces of God, more forces join the forces of evil. Because now there's another man named by the name of Geshem. He wasn't mentioned until this point in the book, folks. And what I'm saying to you here is that right here, this goes to show that as the workers of God are growing, so are the forces of evil. Make no mistake about it, that when God is served, the devil will oppose. And these men step up and they try to make them feel embarrassed to do the work of God. And they accuse them falsely. Sound familiar? False accusations. Accuse them falsely of rebellion by forging lies about them. Sounds a whole lot like the devil, doesn't it? Slanders the brethren, forges lies. And all I'm saying to you, it sounds a whole lot like how the devil opposes the work of God today. And folks, listen to me, please. This is not good news that I'm about to share with you, but it's something you need to understand about the work of God. When a person is shaken out of their lethargy and they're shaken out of their complacency and they realize I've got to do something for God. Wait a minute. And they decide I'm going to get busy for God. I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to give my life to the good work of God. When that happens, the devil will hit them in any way he can in order to stop their progress in the good work that they are involved in. You mark it down. This brand new bus route we're getting ready to start, watch out. The devil does not like it when we say we're not satisfied with everything we're doing. Let's gain more ground for God. Let's knock more doors for God. You do that and the devil will join forces and people will join forces and they'll attack you. It's biblical. It's always been that way. But may I tell you something? It is a worthy fight. It's a worthy cause. And I'm so glad that even though the devil fights me on a daily basis, he fights me. He attacks my mind. He tries to get me to think things I shouldn't think. He tries to get me to think too highly of myself and too lowly of God at times. He's attacking my mind, and it seems like as God's working on my heart that the devil is working overtime. And I'm telling you, that's the reason some people are content just to come and sit, because they're intimidated of opposition. Now, I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you what our youth group needs. It needs a Nehemiah to stand up and say, here's what God wants. And it needs the youth group to say, this is not just Brother Bob. This is not just Miss Lindsay. This is something God wants me to do with my life. What our bus ministry needs some people to see the need that here we have some blank spots. We need some bus captains. We need some bus workers. Why? Because it's a good work, folks. It's a good work. But as soon as you rise up and say, I'll do that, I believe God's calling me to that, I believe I can do that, wait a minute, the devil will make sure he hits you everywhere he can. That's how he works. There's adversaries to this good work. They don't like it. They'll try to make fun of you. They'll try to make you feel embarrassed. And I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing to be ashamed of in the good work of God. There's adversaries in it. Then the last point is found in verse number 20. And that is the answer to it. What did Nehemiah do when these adversaries came and attacked him? Notice what he did. Look at the answer. And then answered. Here it is. Here's his answer. The answer to the work of God. Then answered I them and said unto them, notice this, the God of heaven, he'll prosper us. And we will rise and build. This is a man of God we're talking about, folks. Can you see this old man of God, Nehemiah? Nehemiah knows how God has worked in his heart back in Shushan the palace. Nehemiah realizes that God has answered his prayer. And God is working and God is moving in such a way that he's answered his prayer above what he asked for. And he goes down to Jerusalem, and at night he does a survey of the city. And now he not only heard about it, he has seen it with his own eyes. That's why it's important that you get out and about and you see what you hear about in church, that they're lost, they're undone, they're without hope. You've got to get out and see it for yourself, because it's all over the place. And when Nehemiah saw it, God is so burdened in his heart. God is working and moving in his heart. And God is saying, Nehemiah, I want you to build the walls. And Nehemiah gathers the congregation and says, let me tell you what God wants us to do. Let me tell you what God's put in my heart. Do you see the ruin we're in? Do you see the distress of the people? And he's saying this, folks. He's saying, I'm begging you, let us rise and build. And he sits back and says, oh God, get a hold of their heart. I don't know how they're going to respond. And all of a sudden, one of them steps up and says, I don't know about you, but I feel something moving in my heart too over here. And I'm going to tell you something, what this good man is saying, hey, let us rise and build, folks. Can you imagine what that did to the heart of Nehemiah? And these people have accepted responsibility, and they start strengthening their hands in the good work. And they're saying, Nehemiah, what I want you to know is that I'm not here to begin with you. I'm here to end with you. We're going to do it, and we're going to keep doing it. We're going to do it in the face of opposition. We will not stop until this good work is done. And then all of a sudden, Sanballat, Tobiah, and another person, Geshem, steps up and laughs at them and mocks them and starts falsely accusing them. And you can see the congregation saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are they talking about? What are they? And all of a sudden I see that dear man of God, Nehemiah, who God worked in his heart first. And I see him step up to the scene and look at those enemies. And so let me tell you something, boys. God is behind this. And let me tell you something, boys, God is going to prosper this. And let me tell you something, boys, because this didn't originate with me, because this is God's will, and this is God's work, and this is a good work, God is going to prosper us, and we will rise and build, and you can't stop us. Amen. Now I'm telling you something. The answer for this good work is God himself. Nehemiah made it clear to these adversaries that it was not him that was going to do this work. He made it clear it's not even the king's decree that was going to do this work. He was only a vet. Now get this, folks. They accused him of going against the king. He didn't even touch that. He didn't even say anything about the king. He pointed them to the true king. And he said, this is not that king's work, it's that king's work, and we will not stop until it's done. This is the message here. He's only a vessel in the hands of God. That's what he's saying. He took these adversaries to the purpose of God and shared with him how it was the Lord that was going to prosper their work. The answer to all of life's problems and all of life's opposition is found in our God, folks. It's God. He's the one that must prosper the work. He's the one that must build the walls. He's the one that must deliver us from opposition. In the same way, when you decide to get involved in this good work, whether it be this good work in this church of helping us reach people with the gospel and help us knock on more doors and establish more bus routes and get out and knock 10,000 doors, 20,000 doors, knock every door in our city, that's a good work, my friend. And you say, I'm deciding, I'm going to help with that good work. I know it's God's will. God's working in my heart. But when you decide to get involved in this good work, it's important for you to remember that it's not you. It's not me. It's God that has to do the work. And when the adversaries try to stop you, remind them and look them right in the face and tell them this is a good work of God. He's the one who will make sure it gets done. He's saying, folks, he's saying, I don't care what you boys are telling me. We're not going to stop. We're not going to listen to you. And make up your mind what Nehemiah said, that you will arise and you will build in the face of opposition, realizing that this good work is not yours. It's God's work. He's the answer to the work and the opposition of it. Now, this work that had been occupied, that had occupied the mind of Nehemiah, and had so broken his heart that he was no longer satisfied with the status quo. This work was a good work. It was a good work. This work of building the walls of the city that had been broken down for years, that was a good work. It's a good work that God, that has God as the author. It's a good work that caused Nehemiah to realize it was bigger than himself. He knew he must have help to get this good work done. And when he shared his vision with the people, they caught the vision and accepted responsibility to help in this good work in the face of opposition. Nehemiah knew it was not the people who could do this, but rather the Lord was the one who must help the work to prosper. And in the same way, there are so many good works still to be done for the glory of Almighty God. The good works of building godly homes. What a good work that is. What a good work it is to say, I'm going to have my home be a godly home. I'm going to have my home be a home that's fortified against the attacks of the foe. That's a good work, folks. It's a work, but it's a good one because it's God's will for your home. There's the good work of not only building a godly home, but there's the good work of helping one another that needs to be done. There's a good work that when you have it in your power to meet somebody's needs, you ought to do that. That's a good work. But the good work that I'm really strongly emphasizing throughout this message, there's many good works. This good work is any work that God's in. You see that, don't you? Any work that God's in, any work that's the will of God, that's a good work. But for emphasis tonight, for application tonight, I'm strongly emphasizing, like I did this morning and also emphasizing here tonight, evangelizing the world is a good work, folks. That's a good work. And let me tell you something. This good work takes only one of God's people to open their eyes and see the need. Then take the vision that God has shared with them and cast it on others. And pray God gets a hold of other people's hearts. And as they hear the message and see the vision of what can be done and what should be done, pray that the congregation will accept responsibility to get involved And as opposition comes, and it will come to this, may we keep our eyes on the answer, who is our God, who put it in our hearts in the first place. And can I talk to you just for a few moments? That's my message. I'm done with it. But I'm going to keep going for a minute, because I want to talk to you just a moment. God is putting things in my heart. Now, I'm not saying I'm Nehemiah, but I identify with Nehemiah. This book is where I'm at. God is so working in my heart in a marvelous way. I give Him all the glory. I give Him all the praise. God's helping me think outside of the box. And He's laying things on my heart as far as evangelizing our city, evangelizing our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He's laying things on my heart for this church that only God can be laying on my heart. And I'm conscious of that fact. And it's some big things. You say, Joe, are you trying to excite me? Yes, but I may be scaring some of you. I don't know. But God is so working in my life. And I've shared some of this with the staff, not all of it, but some of it with the pastoral staff. It's amazing how God is putting something on my heart for our soul winning ministry at this church, that no matter how old or how young, now obviously not younger children, you understand, like Jalen or something, somebody like that, but no matter how young or how old you are, and no matter what kind of gifts you have or what kind of gifts you don't have, no matter if you can even get out of your house or not, there's something for you to do to reach people. Now, I'm going to share it with you in the very near future. Now, why would God lay that on my heart if He didn't have you in mind? Some people have the mistake, and I can't do what I used to do. By the way, I understand the senior saints had a wonderful time at the farmer's daughter. Kind of glad I missed that, because I don't need it, you understand? I understand they had a wonderful time. But one of the lies that the opposition will throw at senior saints is, you can't do that. That's just a young preacher. He's full of energy. And he'll understand one of these days when he gets my age. You can't do anything. You're useless. Don't you ever believe that, folks. We younger generation look up to you. I want you to know, you dear senior saints, I love you. And I care about you. I love you deeply. But I look beyond what you think you cannot do, and I choose to see what you can do for the glory of God. There's something in this life, excuse me for standing on this pew, but I do that so you can see me. Are you listening? There's something in this ministry that you can do to help us reach the world. How many of you know you have some kind of a talent? It may not be much of one, but you know you have some kind of a talent. It may be a talent to build stuff. It may be a talent to organize stuff. It may be a talent to put flowers out. It may be a talent with animals. It may be a talent with special needs children. But you know you have a talent. Everybody has one, folks. How many of you all know what your talent is? I'm not asking are you great at it, but you know this is something that you can do. Would you raise your hand? Look at me. Whatever you're raising your hand about right now, we can use it to reach people. How do I know that? Because God gifts you so you can spread the gospel, folks.
You mean what I just raised my hand for, plumbing?
Yeah, let me tell you how it works. When you get a phone call and somebody doesn't know how to put their pipes in, why is it they called you? Something they really need. And you go into that house, they called you. You didn't call them. And you use the talent that God gave you to meet their need and say, you know, I love meeting your need this way, but can I share with you a better need I can meet? And you use your plumbing to get in the house. And when you're in the house, are you listening? You share the gospel with them. Think outside of the box, folks. Now, listen, I'm just talking to you. Listen, God is helping me to see things that I've never seen before. And that is, come here, Justin. Come here just a minute. This little boy right here. He's asking me questions tonight on the way to church about when Jesus comes, what's going to happen. I'm taking him soul winning with me, son. He's probably scared to death right now. But this young man right here is 7 years old. God can use him to reach other people with the gospel at his age. How? He's on a pitching league machine team. Pitching machine league team. Whatever I meant to say there. And there's other boys who probably have mom and daddies who don't go to church anywhere. So for the birthday, Judson can ask some of those boys on his team, why don't you come and be my friend and be my double at the birthday? Bring your mom and daddy. What if they came, and what if they all walked the aisle, and what if they all got saved? You say, Joe, what are we talking about? I'm saying, I don't care who you are, God can use you to help build a part of the wall. Will you see your responsibility in that? Thank you, son. You can be seated. Will you accept your responsibility? Will you say, Jody, I don't know what I can do yet, but I'll tell you one thing. When you start casting vision and you start sharing these things that's on your heart, I want to be the first one to say, I'll get involved in something. And all I'm saying, the emphasis of the book is that God worked on one man's heart in such a way that he left everything behind and came to where it was, and he challenged other people to get involved. And throughout the book, there's opposition, but throughout the book, he's on his face praying to God, and in the midst of it, he simply challenges people. I'm getting ahead of myself in the book, but he simply challenges people. All I want you to do is look straight in front of you. Don't look at this part of the wall. Don't look at that part of the wall. Don't wonder about what's going on the other side of the city. You just do the part of the wall that God's called you to, and if you do your part, and they do their 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 part, we're going to have a beautiful wall in just a short period of time. And what I said this morning, this wall that lay in ruins for approximately 150 years, when every one of these people said, I'll do my part, and I'll do my part, and I'll do my part, it took them 52 days to do what they didn't do in 150 years. The power of people coming together saying, God is behind this. This is a work of God. It's a good work. I'll jump in. I will do it. I will strengthen my hands. I will not quit. And I'll keep my eyes on the Lord and let the Lord work it out. Let the Lord build the wall. And folks, he can still do it. Will you let him use you? Will you get involved? Will you do something? And when you hear it, you say, I can do that. That's something. That's the part of the wall I can do. Right there it is. Yes, I see that I can do that. And get involved and do something for God and make your life count for Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the book of Nehemiah. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. We ask that you bless this message. God, this no doubt is the message on my heart. This is the message for this church at this hour. There's so many things you want to do, so many things you can do, so many things that you desire to do. And I want to commit myself again, fresh and anew, not only before you, but before this dear church and these dear people. If you will show us what to do, if you'll help us, we will do it. Just show us, God. Give us the faith to do it and help us to do it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I always start, at least I try to, with the matter of salvation. It is possible that somebody may have come in under the sound of my voice tonight, and you're a person that is summarized by broken down walls. You're not a Christian. Or maybe there's a doubt in your mind. You say, Jody, this is me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Matter of fact, let me ask it this way. How many of you all know for sure? You're not hoping. You're not thinking. You're not wishing. You know you're saved. There's no doubt in your mind. You know you're saved. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I know I'm saved. Thank you for being honest. You can put your hands down. If somebody is here tonight and you could not raise your hand to that, and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I can't raise my hand saying I know I'm saved. I can't do that. But there's something in me that wants to raise my hand saying, I know I'm a Christian. I can't say that right now, but I
but I want to be able to say that. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I've ever trusted Christ and Christ alone. Then let me ask you this. Here's my challenge. Have you still seated and you say, Jody, if God will show me what He wants me to do, I want to commit myself that I'll do it. If God will show me what He wants me to do, just like He showed these people through His man, Nehemiah, when Nehemiah shared this vision that God laid on his heart. Now in the very near future, God willing now, and I'll promote it so you know what service it's going to be, but in the very near future, God willing, it may be in that service that God shows you what He wants you to do. Here at this church I'm talking about. I'm talking about reaching people now. But if you say, Jody, in my heart, God knows I'm telling the truth. If He'll show me what to do, if He'll show me how to use my talent, if He'll show me how to use my skill, if He'll show me what He wants me to do, I am willing to do it. Now listen, folks, please don't lie to God. God knows your heart. If you say, Jody, I am a person, I am committing myself tonight. If God will show me what He wants me to do to reach people, I will do it. I'll do it. Would you be an honest person before God? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Now, I want you to be honest. If you say, if God will show me what to do, I'll do it. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it just a moment, but I want you to look at me. That's a lot of you. If you really mean this, God will show you. He will show you. And if you really mean what you're looking at me about right now, I just spoke about the special education children this morning and how that's a great need. I'm wanting to do a baseball camp this summer to reach young teenagers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many things. There's something you can do. And if this number of people that's looking at me right now, if you really mean business with this, this will change our church, Brother Gary. It will. It'll revolutionize our church. If you unite under the cooperation of the vision of the pastor and you say, I'm going to do my part of the wall and my part only, there is no telling what can happen. There's no telling, folks. And I want to see it, don't you? Wouldn't you like to see it? I mean, wouldn't you like to see it? I'm serious. Wouldn't you like to see it? How are we going to see it? You get involved. You find what it is, and you say, by God's grace, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I'm in it until it's done. Amen. I'm going to ask every one of you that can and that feel like the Lord's in it. In just a moment when He stands, I want you to come. And I want you to ask God to help you with this. Because the devil's going to fight you. He's going to fight you. Join the crowd. He did Nehemiah. What are you going to do with it? Devil, this is not my work. It's God's. And because it's God's, we're going to get involved in it. And when we get involved in it, God will bless it. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. It's time we stop listening to the devil and start trusting God in what He said. And let's take it to the next level. Amen. Let's all stand together. Father, take it, use it, break it, and bless it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing in your heart, leave your place now and come and say, God, this is me. Right now as he sings, would you come, please?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. with him all.
If you're at the altar, I'd like you to stay right where you're at just a moment. If you wouldn't mind doing that, you can stand if you're done praying, but I want you to stay right where you're at if you don't mind doing that at the altar. I sense in my heart that this could be the service that we look back to and say, there's where it began. And you say, Jody, what's one thing that's on your heart? Right? Just tell me one thing that's on your heart tonight, the bus ministry. There are areas around our city and around our Jerusalem and around our regions right here that we could have buses running in, but we have no workers. Now, I want you to look at me closely. That is not a ministry for everybody to get involved in. That may not be the ministry God has for you, and if it's not, don't do it. But I'm just giving you one of many things that's on my heart. And there may be somebody here at the altar saying, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. Are you listening to me? Why don't you pray and say, God, is that the part of the wall that you want me to get involved in? Now, it may not be. And if it's not, great. He's got some other part of the wall he wants you to build. Are you following me? But if you're willing, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. Then why don't you start off with where I'm starting you off as your pastor? Is there a bus that you can help? Is there a bus route that you can be trained with and say, I'll take that area. I'll try to lead boys and girls to Jesus Christ. That's just one of many. All I'm asking you to do is pray and see if God's in it. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. And if God's not in it, he's got another part of the wall that I'll cast vision on, God willing, in the future. And you say, oh, there it is. Oh, yes. I never thought of that. Yes, there it is. Whatever part of the wall it is, get involved in it. Do you understand what I'm preaching about tonight? I'm not saying you need to get involved in the bus. But no. I'm saying you need to find out if that is the part of the wall that God wants you to build. And if it is, see your blessed part of the entire whole and how it all works together. Do you understand the potential of this meeting? And I pray God drives it on our hearts. Amen? And I hope you mean it. I really do. Brother Gary's going to sing, and you can, if you're done praying, you can go back to your seat at this moment. Brother Gary, let's sing that next verse together, please.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory and go with me. Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, I'll go with him all the way.
If you are a new member within the last 12 months, I want you and your family to go ahead and make your way over to the Victory Classroom. Brother John, Miss Naomi, Brother Bob, Miss Lindsay, Brother Gary and his wife are making their way over. I'll be over there in just a moment. If you're a teenager, would you raise your hand? You're a teenager? There's a part of the wall that you can help us build. What is it? May 15th, the first truth rally. The first teen rally that we're having in our church. Very first one. You can start building that wall now. I'm so excited. I feel like standing here all night. You say, I know that. I can tell that, Jody. This is my heart. What I preach to you about tonight is my heart. There's a great need, and you're a great people, and God has gifted you to help us reach people with the gospel. Now let's go after it. Amen. Simple, and let's get with it. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mullins, sir, if you don't mind, to dismiss us in prayer. Ask God's blessing upon us.